Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 16th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Praise and criticism roll in on the freshly signed trade deal.
Today we take a momentous step.
It falls way below the expectations.
That is a big boon for Iowa farmers.
Details, analysis, winners and losers in the Phase 1 agreement coming up.
The articles of impeachment are now in the hands of the Senate. Plus, an indicted associate of Rudy Giuliani accuses President Trump of lying about Ukraine. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets lost in Philadelphia. Seton Hall upset fifth-ranked Butler. St. John's lost in Providence.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are gaining after another record close for stocks. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points this morning. Dow futures up 83. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is down a tenth of a percent. CAC in Paris, little changed. FTSE 100 down 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained less than a tenth of a percent. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 1.78%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 14 cents to $57.95 a barrel. COMEX gold, little changed, up 60 cents to $15.54.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.1158 against the dollar, and the yen is at 109.99. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the Phase 1 trade deal is in the books.
Today we take a momentous step, one that has never been taken before with China.
The much-anticipated signing did little to boost stocks, though the Dow and the S&P 500 nudged higher to close at records. For one veteran trade negotiator, details of the agreement fall short. Wendy Cutler is managing director of the Asia Society and former deputy U.S. trade representative.
It falls way below the expectations they set out at the beginning of this negotiation when they were going to address all the issues that were keeping U.S. companies out of the Chinese market and do it within 90 days. This negotiation proved a lot tougher than they thought.
For now, analysts appear hesitant to declare a winner in the deal, saying the toughest negotiations are yet to come.
Still for now, American farmers and finance firms can declare a win. We spoke with Republican Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa.
This Phase 1 China deal focuses heavily on the purchase of agricultural goods by China. So number one, that is a big boon for Iowa farmers. But then you talk about enforcement mechanisms and you get into intellectual property theft, things of that nature. We will continue to build on that as we move into Phase 2.
Commodities markets, though, might have expected more. Prices fell for most raw materials that are part of the agreement, including soybeans, cotton, and corn.
The deal will also help investment banks and credit card companies grab a bigger slice of China's finance industry. Here with details on that is Bloomberg's Lucille Liu in Beijing.
There is a bring forward of the timeline for opening, and there have been some enforceable deadlines set. So, for example, we've seen for securities firms, they brought forward the timeline for full foreign ownership from December 1st to April 1st. And they've also said that they would review applications from electronic payment services providers in less than 90 days.
Credit card stocks were some of the biggest gainers on the deal. MasterCard rose 1.1%, while Visa finished the day up 1.9%.
Business leaders in Europe, however, are not thrilled with the agreement. We spoke with Jörg Wuttke, president of the EU Chamber of Commerce in China.
It means that for the next 2 years, $200 billion will be basically traded between two nations without this kind of competition. And this is what we actually don't like about this.
The EU Chamber of Commerce president says the deal rewrites globalization, and he questions whether it conforms to World Trade Organization rules.
And what's notably absent from the Phase 1 agreement is any relief for Huawei Technologies. The Chinese company has been the subject of U.S. sanctions, and it faces the prospect of even more restrictions. Still, Huawei's Director of Congressional Affairs, Donald Morrissey, tells us he's optimistic for relief in future agreements.
The trade deals between the two countries, Huawei has no input there. However, like any global company, we look for trade stability as well as open markets. And we've always preached that, and we hope that's the result down the road as we get to phase two or phase three.
Reports suggest the Trump administration is considering plans to further limit the ability of U.S. companies to supply Huawei, even as Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says he doesn't view Huawei as a chess piece in negotiations with China.
Market reaction to the trade deal was fairly muted in Asia overnight, and Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us now from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Stocks in China were among the weakest in the region. The CSI 300 down 0.4% on the close, while both the on and offshore yuan moved back towards six-month highs against the dollar following the signing of the deal. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 closed slightly higher at 23,933 points in Tokyo. Healthcare stocks among the best performers as Japan's first confirmed case of the new coronavirus lifted mask makers, along with companies which make antibacterial equipment. And in Taipei, the TAIEX closed down by 0.2%. TSMC shares falling on reports the U.S. is pressing the chipmaker to produce on American soil, and despite beating expectations with its fourth quarter numbers. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. Back here in the U.S., we have more bank earnings on the docket. Morgan Stanley publishes results this morning after mixed reports from Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Analysts are forecasting a 40% year-over-year increase in earnings per share, even as revenue is seen falling by 14%. Trading may jump from a tough 2018 fourth quarter, according to Bloomberg Intelligence, while advisory could temper fee gains given the strong year-over-year comparison. The bank may provide detail concerning staff reductions, reported by Bloomberg News, at about 1,500, with a potential related charge of up to $200 million. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. S&P futures higher up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 78 and NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.78%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.55%. The euro is at 1.1159 against the dollar. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. And Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Now that the Senate has received the articles of impeachment against President Trump, plans have been put in motion leading to opening arguments next Tuesday. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
It will be a day of high drama, the agenda laid out by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We've officially invited the House managers to come to the Senate at noon to exhibit their articles of impeachment.
One of those House members, Adam Schiff, says he feels the weight of history.
We feel that we are carrying out the will of the framers of our Constitution, and that's a pretty serious load to carry.
Chief Justice John Roberts will make his way across the street from the Supreme Court and be sworn in by Senator Chuck Grassley.
Then the Chief Justice will swear in all of us senators.
And for the first time, the President will become part of the process, receiving a formal summons to send his defense counsel. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Lev Parnas, an indicted associate of Rudy Giuliani, accused President Trump of lying for saying that he did not know what Parnas and Giuliani were doing in Ukraine. In an interview with MSNBC, Parnas said, "I would not do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president." New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says the state's economy under the last administration did not grow and was not fair. Murphy talked about New Jersey's business environment with Bloomberg's Carol Masser.
We've got a minimum wage that's finally getting toward $15, equal work for equal pay for equal work, earned sick leave, funding women's health and Planned Parenthood, criminal justice reform, lots of things there.
Murphy also signed legislation expanding the definition of terrorism under state law in response to last month's fatal attack on a kosher market in Jersey City. Virginia's governor says state law enforcement agencies have discovered credible and serious threats of violence planned for a pro-gun rally at the Capitol in Richmond this Monday. Governor Ralph Northam issued a state of emergency to go into effect Friday night until Tuesday morning, banning all weapons, including firearms, from Capitol grounds.
This intelligence comes from mainstream channels, both offline and online, such as alternative dark web channels used by violent groups and white nationalists from outside Virginia.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, for the first time this week, a World Series winning manager was not fired. With A.J. Hinch out in Houston, Alex Cora in Boston, the focus has now turned to new Mets manager Carlos Beltran. He not only played for the Astros in 2017 when they were stealing signs illegally, the MLB report says Beltran was involved in hatching the scheme, though baseball decided not to discipline him. If he does keep the Mets job, Beltran's certain to be asked about all this when spring training begins next month. Meanwhile, here's Red Sox owner John Henry on the departure of Cora.
Since joining the Red Sox, Alex Cora has been one of the many people who we work with that has consistently put the organization ahead of their own interests. He did that yesterday as we discussed how to move forward.
Red Sox now searching for a new manager. Mets lost in Philadelphia 117-106. Sixers finished the game on a 13-2 run. Got 34 points from Tobias Harris. Nets have now lost 9 of 11. St. John's fell to 1-4 in the Big East. 63-58 loss at Providence. Seton Hall 5-0 atop the Big East. Quite a win for the Pirates. They were down 10 at the half. Outscored Butler 48-30 from there. Beat the team ranked 5th in the country 78-70. Miles Powell, 29 points. Rutgers still unbeaten at home, 59-50 over Indiana. Fordham lost by 2 in overtime at Duquesne. Northeast Conference Battle of Brooklyn, LIU topped St. Francis. The Giants will interview Jason Garrett for their offensive coordinator job. He was just, of course, fired as the longtime head coach of the Cowboys. Former Giant general manager, the late George Young, named for induction of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, along with former Jets tackle Winston Hill. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, looks like there's one thing LSU quarterback Joe Burrow won't be able to keep. The national champion Heisman Trophy winner and likely number one pick in the NFL draft won't be able to keep the football used in the final play of the championship game. One memorabilia expert says the ball could command at least $100,000 at auction, but an LSU spokesman says that ball is theirs, and it's probably going to stay in the trophy case at LSU's football operations facility. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. TSMC is forecasting revenue well above estimates. The outlook underscores the hope that 5G will galvanize growth in the chip industry. The account of Christine Lagarde's first ECB meeting may confirm little possibility of more stimulus this year. Investors will likely look to the minutes for details on her strategic review. Crude supplies from Iraq are potentially vulnerable. That's according to the International Energy Agency, which cited rising political risks for the assessment. And core retail sales may have jumped last month. Consensus calls for a 0.4% gain in December as holiday shopping was crammed into the end of the year. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are higher this morning, up 9.5 points. Dow futures up 67. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany's down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.78%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 12 cents at $57.93 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.80 to $15.55.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1159 against the dollar. The yen, 109.98. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen Lev Parnas, an indicted associate of Rudy Giuliani, accused President Donald Trump of lying for saying that he did not know what Parnas and Giuliani were doing in Ukraine. In an interview with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow yesterday, Parnas said President Trump knew exactly what was going on. Parnas says he was instructed by Giuliani to tell Ukrainian officials
that all U.S. aid to Ukraine would be withheld if Ukraine did not announce an investigation into the Bidens. His comments came on the same day that Democratic members of the U.S. House walked across the Capitol to deliver the two impeachment articles against Trump to the Republican-controlled Senate. In the NBA, the Nets, Celtics, and Wizards all lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's just before 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak and Bloomberg Radio and Television. Finance correspondent Shanali Bosak is back with us this morning as we wait for the last of the major Wall Street banks to report fourth quarter earnings. Morgan Stanley coming out later on this morning, and the estimate is $1.02 earnings per share, $9.7 billion in revenue. This company's beat the last seven of the last eight quarters. Is the expectation that it could continue here?
So Morgan Stanley here, there are pretty decent expectations given that their fixed income trading revenue, which is what everybody is really keeping their eye on right now, is supposed to rise at a greater clip than Goldman Sachs for the most recent quarter. So let's see if they achieve that. We want to see their trading desks holding up because for Morgan Stanley, trading and investment banking is a very big part of the story for them.
Yeah, it may be doing well against Goldman Sachs, but J.P. Morgan just blew so many of the other banks out of the water this week. Can Morgan Stanley keep up with that kind of clearing of the table?
So interesting here. In fixed income, remember that J.P. Morgan is the whale. At $3.5 billion in revenue that period, Morgan Stanley is expected to make over $900 million, so well less than a third of what JP Morgan generates. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have the opportunity to show that they are making strides there and growing in a good market. That business, they're really investing in electronic trading, and that is something that's a newer phenomenon on Wall Street, that electronic trading can really revolutionize bond markets.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of developments we get from Morgan Stanley on that front. But of course, equities has been a big part of this bank's business for so long, and equities obviously have been on a tear. How much of a share of the market could Morgan Stanley continue to hold there?
So Morgan Stanley is the number one player in that business. And guess who they have coming right up behind them, trying to nip at their heels? JP Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
So this quarter in particular, people are going to want to see whether they were able to keep that share. That is going to be at the forefront. Even within the equities business, a place that I watch is Morgan Stanley's prime brokerage. And that's the place that really services the hedge funds in the U.S. and around the world. JP Morgan did gain a lot in that business. So is Morgan Stanley still number one?
And I got to think one big question you and a lot of other reporters are going to be asking is, what is Morgan Stanley doing about cost cutting, given the news that we got just yesterday that the company's only promoting 130 people to managing director?
It's a really interesting for Morgan Stanley to come last in this earnings cycle because, yes, not only are they promoting less people, keeping their top ranks elite, they also, we reported, are letting go of 2% of their workforce. So they're letting go of a lot of people, and the cost cutting is going to be at the forefront, and how they're going to be competitive with those cost cuts. All the other global banks this week made it very clear to investors that they are investing in their businesses. JP Morgan said they're hiring. Bank of America said they're hiring. Citigroup said headcount was up. And so what's happening at Morgan Stanley?
I wonder whether you bring in electronic trading into that mix, whether Morgan Stanley might be trying to strike some kind of balance here. Is that something you're going to be asking as we get ready for the call?
For certain. We know that Morgan Stanley in the past has been able to do more with less. They have had periods of time where they have cut hundreds of people from their trading desk. But guess what? In equities, that helped make them number one. They really invested in technology, and they don't talk about it or brag about it much, right? They don't talk about how they need to be the next Amazon. They just invest in the technology that they believe that Wall Street needs.
And in just a few seconds here, one big question that's been asked of all the banks is the impact of low interest rates. What do you think we're going to see there?
So this is interesting because Morgan Stanley has been really trying to grow their loan book. And remember, Morgan Stanley, yes, we talk about them in trading, but what's really made them the big stable player in this market is their massive wealth manager. And for them to grow those loans while countering the impact of low interest rates is important, but it's not expected to be such a boon as it was with Bank of America yesterday.
Bloomberg Finance correspondent Shanali Bosick, thanks as always for being with us. We're waiting for those Morgan Stanley results due out later this morning before the opening bell. We will bring them to you as the headlines cross the terminal here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures higher now by almost 10 points, and you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning after another record close for stocks. The U.S. and China's phase one deal is in the books, putting the trade war on hold. Still, there's more work ahead. Wendy Cutler is managing director of the Asia Society and former deputy U.S. trade representative.
Looking ahead, not only will the two sides need to implement the deal and make sure that China's not violating the negotiation. But remember, this is a phase one deal, and by definition, there's a phase two. And the phase two negotiations are going to be difficult.
U.S. finance firms were one of the winners in the agreement, which moves up the timeline for investment banks and credit card companies to grab a bigger slice of China's finance industry. They can now form fully owned units as soon as April. Here with details is Bloomberg's Lucille Liu in Beijing.
JP Morgan has been very vocal about wanting full ownership. And we've had half a dozen fund managers, including BlackRock, say that they are looking to go for full ownership for mutual fund companies starting on April 1st.
And speaking of financials, they'll be in focus again today when Morgan Stanley, BlackRock, and Schwab report earnings. For Morgan Stanley, analysts predict earnings per share around $1 and fixed income trading revenue of $9.4 billion.
Also on the agenda today, a key economic report. Economists predict retail sales increased 0.3% in December. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics is forecasting holiday sales posted the second weakest showing the past decade. Online sales probably gained, but stores and shopping malls probably suffered. Auto sales, meantime, were down based on industry data. Also on today's calendar, a variety of data, including jobless claims, import prices, and homebuilder confidence, which zoomed to a 20-year high in December. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And turning to Europe now, car sales on the continent jumped 21% last month. There was an end-of-the-year buying frenzy caused by upcoming new emissions penalties. That, however, threatens to sap demand heading into 2020. We are watching some preliminary results from Bombardier crossing the Bloomberg. Its preliminary fourth-quarter revenue missing analysts' estimates, and it also says it's pursuing options to accelerate deleveraging. S&P futures are up about 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 66 and NASDAQ futures up 32. The 10-year Treasury little changed. The yield 1.78% and the yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up a tenth of a percent or 8 cents at $57.89 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up a tenth of a percent. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover Above and Beyond. Now here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Nathan. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the impeachment trial against President Trump will begin in earnest on Tuesday. Yesterday, the House sent two articles of impeachment against Trump to the Senate. McConnell told colleagues that the House managers will be invited today to formally read the articles into the record, and a few hours later,
the Chief Justice of the United States will arrive here in the Senate. He will be sworn in by the President pro tem, Senator Grassley. Then the Chief Justice will swear in all of us senators.
A close associate of President Trump's personal lawyer says he delivered an ultimatum in May to the incoming president of Ukraine that all American aid to the war-torn country would be withheld if an investigation into Joe Biden wasn't announced. Lev Parnas made the claims to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC.
What do you think is the main inaccuracy or the main lie that's being told that you feel like you can correct?
That the president didn't know what was going on. President Trump knew exactly what was going on. He was aware of all of my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president.
Meanwhile, a House committee chairman said his panel will investigate what he says are profoundly alarming text messages from a Trump donor that have raised questions about the possible surveillance of former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, before she was ousted by the Trump administration. Vladimir Putin's new choice for prime minister pledged to make changes in the cabinet just a day after the Russian leader surprised the political elite with a government shakeup. Bloomberg's Henry Mayer has more from Moscow.
President Vladimir Putin replaced his long-serving Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev with the little-known head of the tax service and called for sweeping constitutional changes, fueling speculation that the Russian leader is moving to extend his grip on power beyond the end of his term in 2024. The constitution now requires Putin to step down as president then, but he could take on another post to ensure his continued influence. In Moscow, Henry Mayer, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Seton Hall began the season with high hopes, ranked 12th in the country. Bit of a slow start, 6-4 after a 20-point loss at Rutgers. But since then, the Pirates are 7-0. And last night, they came from 10 down to upset 5th-ranked Butler on the road, 78-70. Miles Powell, 29 points. Butler came in 15-1. St. John's lost at Providence, 63-58. Rutgers beat Indiana, 59-50. Fordham lost by 2 in overtime at Duquesne. LIU topped St. Francis. The Nets lost at Philadelphia, 117-106, as Tobias Harris scored 34. Spencer Dinwiddie led Brooklyn with 26. Kyrie Irving held to 14, shot just 6 of 21. First time playing back-to-back nights since Irving returned from his injured shoulder.
I was trying to pace myself as best I could. Just in the first quarter, some of the shots I was making yesterday were a little short. In and outs a few. They were being very physical. Any team we play against, they're going to game plan pretty tough to be physical with me and kind of corral me in the pick and roll.
Upset in the NBA, Orlando beat the Lakers in L.A. That ends the Lakers' 9-game win streak. Still no word from the Mets. Will they stand by new manager Carlos Beltran despite his involvement in the sign-stealing scandal in Houston? C.C. Sabathia says the Yankees got cheated. He feels the Astros should have their 2017 championship vacated. Of course, they beat Sabathia and the Yankees in that ALCS, winning all four games in Houston, and that's where the sign-stealing was going on. Sabathia has joined the Yankees front office as a special advisor. Giants looking for an offensive coordinator. They will interview Jason Garrett, the former head coach in Dallas. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Sprint's floundering stock cannot tell a lie. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Traders who make a living betting on mergers won't touch T-Mobile and Sprint's deal with a 10-foot pole. The companies are awaiting the outcome of a case brought by a group of state attorneys general trying to block their merger. As lawyers made their closing arguments this week, the per-share value of T-Mobile's takeover offer was more than 60% higher than Sprint's share price. The widespread implies that traders see an extremely low likelihood that the deal gets done. The wireless carriers may have been able to butter up two federal regulatory authorities by using the wonders of a 5G-powered America to distract from the deal's likely competitive harm. But merger arbitrage traders live in a world of mathematical probabilities informed by laws and legal precedents. And on that basis, it's hard to imagine that the judge presiding over the trial will rule in the company's favor. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. It is 6:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
If you own a business and were thinking of retiring the next few years, wealth advisors have a message for you. Sell now. They say it's a great time to put a private company up for sale while the economy is strong and many deep-pocketed buyers are circling. Bloomberg's Ben Sieverman wrote the story for Bloomberg.
There's also the sense that, well, these conditions are as good as it gets. And if you were planning to sell, the point really is that if you were planning to sell in the next 3 to 5 years, maybe you should think about accelerating those plans because the conditions are so good right now and because taxes are low.
If President Trump loses the election, Democrats running to replace him have promised to boost taxes on the rich. For the owner of a company, selling by the end of 2020 could result in a much smaller tax bill than striking a deal in 2021. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Some other stories we're watching this morning. Apple's main chip maker is projecting quarterly sales well above estimates. TSMC also posted fourth quarter earnings that were better than expected. Taiwan's largest company is investing in technology to make sure it maintains its market lead over Samsung and Intel. Alcoa's bid to stop a year-long profit slump isn't getting much help from the aluminum market. The top U.S. producer reported a fourth quarter loss that was bigger than expected. It was Alcoa's fourth straight quarterly decline. And the CEO of the company that owns Smith & Wesson is leaving. American Outdoor Brands says James Debney engaged in non-financial misconduct. It did not elaborate. Ahead of the open on Wall Street, futures contracts point to potentially more records for equities. S&P futures higher by 10 points right now. Dow futures up 73. NASDAQ futures gaining 36 points. 10-year, little change. The yield, 1.78%. The 2-year Treasury note yields close to 1.56%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing right now. Dow futures up 77 points. S&P's gain 11, while NASDAQ futures climb by 37. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.78%. Gold is trading little changed. And Shanghai dropped 0.5% overnight, while European markets are trading mostly lower, led by losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Philly Fed retail sales and initial jobs claims, and at 10 o'clock, business inventories and the NAHB housing market index. After the bell last night, Alcoa EPS missed estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, Bank of New York EPS was in line. Also look for Morgan Stanley to report before the open. In other news, XPO Logistics is said to explore breaking up the company. Shares are up 17% in the pre-market. And wrapping things up, Ameren raised to buy over at Goldman Sachs, U.S. Bancorp cut to underweight at J.P. Morgan, and Tesla was cut to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in a dramatic procession across the U.S. Capitol, House Democrats carried the formal articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump to the Senate.
setting the stage for only the third trial to remove a president in American history. Trump complained that it was all a hoax, even as fresh details emerged about his efforts in Ukraine. Lev Parnas, an indicted associate of Rudy Giuliani, accused President Trump of lying for saying that he did not know what Parnas and Giuliani were doing in Ukraine. Parnas said he was instructed by Giuliani to tell Ukrainian officials that all U.S. aid to Ukraine would be withheld if Ukraine did not announce an investigation into the Bidens. In the NBA, the Nets, Celtics, and Wizards all lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, LSU said it is working with athletes and sports officials to address an incident in which NFL star Odell Beckham Jr. may have broken the rules. Beckham handed out cash to players after their championship victory. The Cleveland Browns wide receiver was celebrating with his alma mater on Monday night. Nathan, of course, according to NCAA bylaws, players cannot accept cash from alumni.
Well, what are they going to do when Odell Beckham is coming up to you? Say no?
Yeah, I know Mr. Beckham can come up to me, and I'm happy to take it.
You would say yes.
I sure would.
You are not bound by NCAA bylaws.
That's right. Maybe AARP, but that's about it. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I got my card. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories there include President Trump signing the phase one trade deal with China, the White House working on a tax cut 2.0 rollout this summer, just in time for campaign season, and the Senate possibly voting as soon as today to pass the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. Also making news, the Senate now has the reins of the impeachment process. For more, let's bring in Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. So now, Kate, we're in the pomp and circumstance phase, I guess you could say, of the impeachment proceedings. What happens in the next day or so? Set the table for us, please.
Well, I think what we're most likely to see starting today is, as you say, kind of these formalities that are going to be unfolding, you know, for the first time since Bill Clinton was tried in the Senate back in the late 90s. And so this is kind of a rare moment in U.S. history. And what we're likely to see is the articles of impeachment read aloud in the Senate. And then following that, the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, will be coming across the street from the Supreme Court to preside over the trial and to swear in all 100 senators as jurors. And at that point, the senators are going to be pretty glued to their seats for the next couple weeks while this trial unfolds, you know, as they sort of hear the arguments and begin to determine, you know, how they're going to vote or if their vote is going to change beyond just what we expect along partisan lines.
All right. Glued to their seats during the trial, but certainly not glued to their seats right now. So what is happening behind the scenes of all this ceremony?
Well, I think that right now what's really happening is an extension of what's been going on over the last couple weeks, which is, you know, some of these kind of back channel negotiations between Mitch McConnell potentially and Democrats, also with his fellow Republicans, trying to make sure that all of his support, the entire Republican conference's support, is shored up. On the other side of the coin, you know, you have folks at the White House who, you know, I would imagine are going to be talking with Republicans as well, trying to make sure that that support is shored up. And then also Democrats who might be trying to reach out to Republicans to try to woo them and convince them that they should side with Democrats and that perhaps it's politically advantageous for them to break ranks with their party to do so. And when this is all going to kind of come to a head is potentially next week when there could be a vote on whether or not to allow witness testimony and documents to be entered into evidence or whether this is going to be a trial that concludes essentially at the end of both sides presenting their arguments. And because Republicans have such a slim majority in the Senate, they only have a couple seat majority. That's why this kind of becomes very important. If a few Republicans do decide to break ranks, that could end up giving Democrats a majority here.
Are you thinking that we could see that vote happen before arguments are laid out at the trial? Because from what we've heard from Majority Leader McConnell up to this time is that he would want to have that vote on witnesses and documents after the arguments are laid out.
Yeah, and this has been one of the big sticking points. You know, we saw Nancy Pelosi holding back the impeachment articles, you know, for more than 3 weeks, just sending them over yesterday, you know, and that was one of the kind of the big sticking points here. And so I think McConnell has really been sticking to his guns on this matter. And so I wouldn't expect him necessarily to change course unless there was sort of a nose counting problem if he didn't have the votes to prevent that from happening. I think he would probably know that by this point.
Now, in the run-up to this, even as all these votes are taking place, we've seen new evidence come out, new documents from the House Intelligence Committee, and this interview last night on MSNBC with Lev Parnas, the associate of Rudy Giuliani, who's now facing federal campaign finance charges. Tell us more about this. How significant is what we heard from Lev Parnas last night?
I think it's potentially very significant, in the court of public opinion, perhaps also in terms of, what if any charges are brought, additional charges are brought, at the federal level outside of the impeachment process. The process that's unfolding in Congress more generally. I think that, it's not necessarily likely to change any Republican minds, but I think it does put additional pressure on Mitch McConnell and his fellow Republicans to allow witness testimony, because it sort of brings to the fore the idea that we still may not all know all that there is to know about what went on in terms of these Ukraine discussions and the possibility, that Congress or the idea that Congress has some sort of oversight capacity here and that the Senate, before it makes a decision on Trump's guilt or innocence, should be hearing directly from these types of witnesses.
Is there a possibility that we could hear Lev Parnas called as a witness even as he's facing this federal trial in the traditional courts?
Yeah, so a lot of times Congress does defer to the Justice Department and the federal court system when someone, in terms of both their own members and other folks in terms of letting those processes play out. But I think certainly Democrats may want to hear from him and may put pressure on Republicans to do that, given the interviews that Parnas has been giving over the last couple of days.
In our last minute here, as the impeachment goes on, President Trump is making a pretty overt push to shore up his support among evangelical voters. What can you tell us about what's happening today?
Yeah, so Trump's going to unveil the administration's going to unveil some new guidance on prayer in schools. And I think the important thing to remember here is that, prayer in schools is already legal. And so I think that this is very much, a gesture that's aimed at providing some red meat to his conservative base at a time when we're, 8-9 months out from the general election. And so I think that that's the frame in which to look at this. But I would expect that it's probably part of, several things that we're likely to see over the next several months, sort of that are aimed at reminding conservatives that Trump is in their corner.
Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. You can read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
It may sound like a broken record. But it's repetitive because so many experts are reaching the same conclusion about this moment in time. Five major independent assessments of global temperatures in 2019 each concluded that last year was the second hottest in 140 years of data. The planet is warming faster than at any time in the history of civilization. The decade beginning in 2010 was the hottest ever, and it's the fourth in a row to set a new high. The five warmest years occurred since 2015. This year is expected to be similar to last year. Under normal conditions, without warming, scientists would expect that 2.5% of the Earth would experience very high temperatures in a given year. In 2019, it was 52% of the planet. And according to Berkeley Earth, no place broke a cold record. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 82, NASDAQ futures up 38. And this as we await earnings from Morgan Stanley. They're doing about 15 minutes from now. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield 1.78%. The yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, is at $57.79 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.2%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.